I want to read from Hebrews chapter 4 this evening. We're not doing our Bible study this evening. I'm sure you can appreciate why. I didn't think it would be really right to sort of go back to that study. And as I was just thinking earlier on this afternoon what to bring to you, I think Simpson and I were saying on the phone earlier on, you know, when we're talking about people in such grief, that, you know, you're trying to find the right word, and it's so often it's hard to find. And you can quote verses, and you can quote scriptures, and sometimes you can sometimes say more than is necessary, and, you know, it's not an easy thing. But one thing we know, that God's word does have the answer, and it is there for us, and we should turn to it. And as a church, we need to turn to the scriptures. It's Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, and it's really a word for us as a church, and guiding us in our praying this evening. These aren't words which are strange to you. I believe with all of my heart that every single one of us this evening has quoted and has called upon and has used Hebrews 4:16 in the course of our life, and rightly so, because these are words that are for, you know, every occasion, but especially times of such grief and such tragedy. Hebrews chapter 4, let me read from verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all places tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'll finish there at verse 16. Congregation this evening, as I've indicated, with the most tragic passing of Samuel Crawford, I did not believe it was suitable to do our regular Bible study this evening, but still to bring you God's word for your heart and for my heart this evening, because it is a time of mourning. And the scripture directs us that we mourn with them that mourn. And even as we look at 1 Corinthians, and we shall do when we get to the 12th chapter, you know, we suffer with our fellow members. We enter into their sorrows. And we ask the question, Lord, what do we do? We come here in prayer. What I find in verse 16 is that the Lord doesn't identify the I in verse 16. It's collective. It's let us. Let us. It's something that we do as a body, do as a group of believers this evening. It's why we're here. It's why the church meets to pray. We come boldly to the throne of grace. And so for ourselves this evening, it is necessary to try and focus our minds on the word of God, that we might pray earnestly for each of the dear saints and family members which have been affected. For other things this evening, we will pray for Ukraine as well. We can't ignore what is happening in our world, and we have set the prayer time aside. But, you know, here we have a broadness. You've got a generosity in this text that we can bring all these things to God in prayer. I'm sure that we all agree this evening that when you try to enter into someone's grief, to some extent it's not possible, irrespective of what the grief is, what the mourning is, and what the sorrow is. But I remind you this evening that there is in our God and Saviour one who knows the grieving heart. And while our words are silent, or while our words maybe are very few and far between, the God of all grace will give that word that is needed. And aren't you glad that he's given us that word this evening right before our very eyes? Each of us as Christians have fallen upon these words of verse 16. And I'm just simply laying them before you just for a few moments, that we might find grace to help, and that the dear families that are suffering might find grace to help in time of need. Remember, beloved, that in this time of need, it is important for the church family to pray. Now, I know just even from my short time here in the church, and I think of Sandell, I think they're just the same in terms of their family bond. I don't need to ask you to pray, because I know that you're going to pray. But what I remind us is that we have this very unique privilege this evening to collectively pray. The church meets together, as I said before, on occasions of extremity and times of need for this very reason, to seek the face of God. And when you look at the words of the apostle here in chapter 4, even the most basic of of all needs is before us here, and that is a need to go and a need to pray before the face of God. You know, here is every encouragement, every need, every reason why we must pray. But none of these will profit us if we don't do it. And if we don't seek God this evening. And I know that you will. And that's why we're here. But I'm reminding us here that, you know, while we understand all these things, and we're going to look at the privileges and look at the reasons why we can come bold into the throne of grace, unless there is the actual coming and the going and the seeking, then we're reading these words in vain, aren't we? In a sense, we might also say they mean nothing to us, because the call of God through them is let us go. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. But when we think of this need to go boldly to the throne of grace, you know, we ask the question, what words do you say? What can we give? What can we do? And even we think of those who are grieving and suffering, you know, what do you do practically? How can you help in any measure and in any way? But let me say this evening, one of the things that we forget, and sometimes the Church of Christ forgets, is that the most effective and the most powerful and the most instrumental means of responding in any grief is prayer. It really is. And it's not because we think to ourselves, sure, I mean, it's a cliche, we'll just pray for you. It's because it's so needful. It's the very life and breath of our soul. I remember quite a number of years ago, not long after that really, I was into Bible college, and one of our ministers of another church was really making a similar point, that there was such a tragic moment which took place in the church, that the church that previously was in a sense prayerless, it turned them to prayer, moved them to prayer, because they understood this is a great need. A great sorrow. And I think, you know, that together with what we're seeing nationally, what we're seeing in our world, and what we're experiencing, and individual struggles that people are going through, while we can never really say that, you know, now is a more important time to pray than any other time in history, it's facing us, it's staring us in the face. These are people, these are individuals, you know, close to us. Friends, and my, they need us to do what God is calling us to do, to come boldly to the throne of grace. And then, beloved, remember this. In this time of need, it's not just important to go to the throne of grace, but to go boldly. Now, the moment I say that, I realize that's hard. That's really hard in some respects. When you feel the pain and you sense the suffering and the weakness. But the scripture is speaking to us here, and the apostle, when he writes these words, writes to a church that itself has suffered, that was going through its tribulation, and it was enduring all manner of grief for one reason or another, but the apostle doesn't think it inappropriate to tell them that one of the privileges that we have as the people of God is not simply to go and pray, but to go boldly. And immediately you ask that sort of question, Lord, what would it be to go boldly to the throne of grace? We all know this evening it doesn't mean arrogantly. We all know it doesn't mean with presumptuousness. It doesn't mean any of those things. But remember, the call for the Church of Christ to prayer is never one that has come out of a vacuum or plucked from thin air. In other words, God gives us reasons to come boldly, and God gives them to us very clearly this evening. You look at verse 14, verse 15. You'll see what the language is. Because we have. You know, when you think of someone that no longer has someone, the Christian always has Christ. We have a high priest. And notice how it keeps on going in verse 14. Just to encourage us to pray. We have a great high priest. He is passed into the heavens. He is Jesus, the Son of God. We can hold fast our profession. We have one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We have no reason not to go boldly. Beloved, we have every reason to boldly pray for those who are weak this evening. And possibly, because you've all been through struggles and grief yourself, and you know what it's like, sometimes you can't pray. And you know that's the very thing that you should do, but you don't have strength in yourself. You're enduring grief and pain. You don't know how to pray. You don't know what words to say. It's hard even to read the Bible. I'm quite sure it's become for most of you when I say those things. But what we can do as a church is what others are struggling to do because of their sorrow. A boldness to go to a great God who loves those who are grieving. And so we must come boldly because of who he is. And then just very lastly, before we come to our prayer time, in this time of need, dear Christian, it is a throne of grace that we go to. It's such a lovely description in verse 16. Let us therefore, there's all the reason, come boldly unto the throne of grace, not a footstool upon earth, and not some wicked ruler who sits upon an evil throne. Here is the throne of God above, and it's decked with grace. And it's surrounded by mercy. And there's room for every one of us and 10,000 more. We can go boldly to the throne of grace. And there he is, our shepherd, our king, our prophet, our priest. And he extends to us as a church this evening his scepter. And he says, Christian, come. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And if you've seen this glorious ending to verse 16 and find grace to help in time of need. You know, there's a difference, very subtle difference between just simply and finding help. Help can come in many forms. And I know that you'll reach out and you'll give help and support across a whole number of levels to so many who've been affected. And in other ways, the help given to Ukraine, tremendous, what has been raised. It's humbling to see it. But the scripture just gives us that little tiny detail. It's not just simply finding help, it's grace. Grace, we're finding grace to help. And that maybe is the key that we lose. We misplace sometimes. We want to give help. We need help. But there is something even more. There is a need for grace to help in time of need. In other words, the primary thought here is spiritual help. Inward help. Help me. That's the cry of those who are mourning this day. And beloved, we have in our hands right now the key to go boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. And I want to leave those words with you, and not that I'm teaching you anything new, I'm not this evening, just to encourage us as we come before God's gracious and merciful throne.